This is Parentally Advised, a podcast dedicated to the music of my parents, where I set out to show that their musical eras provide more than just simple listening music. There are plenty of great stories and wonderful lessons to be learned from this time period that give greater context to the music of today. Thank you for joining me, DJ Alibi, here at 90.5 KCSU. What makes a live album performance iconic? In the past 50 years, there have been some really standout performances. Is it style and showmanship? Queen brought plenty of that and then some to the Live Aid performance. But maybe a performance should say something to the world and change music forever afterwards. Jimi Hendrix had plenty to say at Woodstock, and nothing was the same afterwards. But the most common factor in a great live performance I see, and the one that leads to the most memorable and personal live performances, is fully embracing your audience and the environment around them. This is the factor that is the greatest difference on the live music world versus a studio recording. When it comes to interactions between audience and musicians, one album jumps to my mind. My father is a much larger country fan than I am, and I enjoy the genre, albeit rather casually, and just like most casual American country fans, I have a great fondness for Johnny Cash. But while being a casual country fan, a casual Johnny Cash fan, I am not. I'm still in college, and I can't even afford the money or the space for a record player, but my Folsom Prison Blues record is a treasure. Cash's face fills its front as the photographer catches him at a canted angle. His eyes have just tilted back far enough to be able to recognize the camera. Sweat streams down his face, invisible trails falling off the side of it, from an all-or-nothing show. Indeed, for Johnny Cash, this really was kind of an all-or-nothing show. Cash was once one of the largest American music stars in the 1950s. But his status in the mid-60s couldn't have been further from his past glory. The world of music had abandoned Cash by this time. He was now known more for his drug and alcohol use, as well as his many extremely unique crimes he was either strongly considered for or charged with. But Cash, after a particularly hard string of moments, was on the verge of a great rebound. Fueled by his strong, now open, fiery relationship with June Carter, Cash was seriously pursuing sobriety and launched headfirst back into music. But his record label had just found new management and had long lost its patience with Cash due to his old unreliableness. They assigned him a new wildcard producer named Bob Johnston. Each knew that Cash needed to do something drastically unique and influential to get Cash established again, or this return would be dead on arrival. They decided to play into the legacy and reputation of the Man in Black, taking inspiration from one of Cash's first big hits, Folsom Prison Blues. They came up with the idea of recording a live show in the setting of the prison itself. Cash had always held great sympathy for those on the fringes of society. He wrote the song, Folsom Prison Blues, directly from the perspective of an incarcerated man, and many of the inmates at the prison saw him as an identifiable figure, even if Cash had never really spent a decent amount of time in jail. Cash was rebellious to his core. He fought against everyone and anyone involved with the law, and fought even harder for those on the fringes. It's hard to describe just how many people, outside of those who conceived the idea, thought that it was a bad idea. The executives at the record label were greatly concerned and only gave Johnston barely enough money to make the recording. Columbia Records was terrified half of the idea itself, and half because they were putting their best efforts into promoting pop stars instead of country at this point. They waited a whole 4 months to release the album after its production, but their concerns were settled soon after its release. On May 25th, 1968, the single Folsom Prison Blues charted on the Billboard Top 100. It ended up topping out at number 13. In 1968, the other charting songs were from artists such as Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, and James Brown. Motown and R&B were dominating their competition, and nothing else was even coming close to touching their top dog status. But here, out of nowhere, came a country single from a nearly forgotten artist hitting the charts. The single stayed on the top 200 for 122 weeks. Eventually, the album was certified gold in the fall of 1968, and later triple platinum in 2003. Cash even got two Grammys for both his album At Folsom Prison, Best Album Notes in 1969, and the single Folsom Prison Blues, which won Best Country Vocalist Performance for the male category in 1969. So the album is a great live album, and Cash's career is back from the dead. But what makes it special? Sure, Johnny is an incredible showman, and added to his live pieces to make them special. The crowd is receptive and rearing at his every line. And of course, his band is playing their hearts out, leaving every note on the floor, hard and fast. But it's the relationship of the crowd, the performer, and the environment that really brings something special to the album. When Cash took the stage, you could hear a pin drop in the prison. The inmates were quiet during Folsom Prison Blues as they were afraid to cheer. Something about guards standing nearby with batons and holstered guns put them on edge for a threat of retaliation. Go figure. The cheers after the line, "I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die," were notably added in post. But this was Johnny Cash performing. He knew people like this because, after all, he was like this. He could identify with them. So he just went and played one of the rawest performances ever recorded live. Cash is going so fast and so hard on the song Cocaine Blues, you can hear him out of breath and losing his voice. He even changes the lyrics to be harsher, more abrasive. Cash isn't hiding anything. He had plenty of dark songs that were about life behind bars or reflection and regret, but he seemed to bring them all out just for this performance. After the first song, it's no longer the post-production magic, but the raw intensity of live music magic, and the prisoners can't get enough of it. Cash can be heard laughing and joking with the prisoners as the concert progresses. The cheering and hollering is directly from the prisoners now, and at some point you can even hear the PA system come over the crowd. Cash goes so far as to perform a song written by one of the inmates, titled Greystone Chapel. To Cash, these weren't just inmates, but they were people. To the inmates, Cash was someone who understood them, and was telling them they aren't alone outside the world of that prison. He was singing their life and experiences to them through his music. When listening to the album, you are put in the position of not a casual listener, but a prisoner in the crowd. This was Cash's way of reminding the nation about a forgotten people. He was giving voice to those who had lost it, and using the moment to remind us of what society had neglected. He would later go on to fight for prisoners and improved incarceration conditions for the rest of his life. The album was successful and revitalized his career, but it also became a landmark for live albums. Noted as being a swing at authority, something Cash had been doing his whole life, but also a great piece of social commentary. The album wasn't just about a performance or music being played. It was about the people Cash was playing to. This has been Parentally Advised with DJ Alibi, a podcast dedicated to the music of my parents here at 90.5 KCSU. Thank you for lending me your time and ears.